Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The recent suspected terrorist incidents in New Orleans and Las Vegas on New Year's Eve, occurring during large-scale public celebrations in prominent urban areas, underscore the unpredictable and evolving nature of the global risk landscape. These events have heightened concerns for businesses and insurers alike, drawing attention to the adequacy of current risk management and coverage strategies. As the investigations unfold, the potential ramifications for the insurance industry, particularly the terrorism insurance market, are significant, with questions about policy scope, pricing, and risk modeling taking center stage. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. And joining us now to discuss that is Fergus Critchley. He's head of crisis management, North America at Willis. Fergus, welcome. So great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Fergus, what impact could the recent events in New Orleans and Las Vegas have on the insurance industry, particularly within the terrorism insurance market?
Great. Thank you. So I think the largest cumulative loss is likely to manifest through litigation as victims and their estates seek compensation. So the question really becomes which marketplace will be the primary source of compensation and indemnity. So traditional terrorism policies require the event to be political, religious, or ideologically motivated. Active assailant or active shooter policies would not require this threshold to be met, and neither would general liability policies. So they should be able to respond, and a general liability policy should be able to respond subject to no other exclusions being applicable. I want to also acknowledge, though, that there could also be property and event cancellation losses, especially given the 1st of January events planned in and around the city. So if we focus on liability for a moment, the likely main responding markets, as I mentioned, are going to be the general liability market and then also the active assailant market. Both markets could see changes as a result of these events. So firstly, the general liability market. We've seen exclusions and limitations creeping into general liability policies in the past 3 to 5 years for these types of violent events. And we've seen that with sort of assault and battery exclusions. This has not been market-wide, but more industry-specific. The New Orleans truck attack will likely continue that trend of GL markets reviewing their appetite for these types of events and potentially further limitations and exclusions being seen in the future. And then secondly, the active assailant market. While interest and take-up of active assailant policies has been growing in the last 5 years, this is still considered a discretionary purchase. This New Orleans truck attack could become a major loss to the active assailant market. And should the market pay losses, we could see rate increases and a refining of appetite for these large event risks or where you've got a large amount of people in one space. So to summarize, events such as these continue to validate the need for specialty insurance markets to meet the need of businesses, both to protect assets but also to protect their workforce and duty of care to third parties. These events will continue to increase the appetite for specialty products, which look to provide this holistic coverage, looking at both pre and post event, and also providing first and third party indemnity.
And how might these events influence the demand for terrorism insurance coverage, especially among businesses in high risk urban areas or sectors?
Yeah, sure. So the demand for terrorism insurance is a function of two things, the frequency and severity of acts of terrorism and the breadth of coverage provided under traditional property and casualty policies. These two most recent events in association with things like the assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO in December continue the rise of active shooter incidents around the country. That speaks to the distress risk environments that we find ourselves in, which of course we expect to see reflected in risk managers' appetite to seek specific coverage to deal with this. Given a hardening rate environment more broadly, We, of course, don't expect P&C carriers or property and casualty carriers to rush to expand their terrorism coverage they provide under an all risk or general liability policy, not unless they're going to do it for considerable impact to premium. So the combination of these two forces points to an increased demand for coverage within the specialty market. The good news is that carriers in this space, while having, of course, suffered material losses internationally, have strong demand, though, for domestic exposure and are willing to meet the needs of clients in the United States and broadly across the North America.
How could these incidents impact the insurance industry's approach to assessing terrorism risk? And will insurers likely reassess their underwriting practices and risk models in response to these unpredictable high-profile events?
Yeah, so we expect that the property and casualty market to either restrict terrorism coverage or begin to reflect their exposure in the premium they charge. It is reasonable to expect that carriers consider physical security, corporate or organizations' profiles within their underwriting. And I think that's going to, of course, become prevalent in the next few years, whether it be political leanings, environmental leanings, the workplace policies that they put in effect. That is certainly going to be something that's going to be scrutinized by the underwriting community as a result of what's happened in certainly some of these events. In addition, as reinsurers have pushed rate increases coupled with restrictions to coverage, insurers have continued to develop their approach to modeling and assessing risk. So as a result, we've seen the development and adoption of analytics, and that's only been able to help not only insurers quantify and manage their exposure to events such as terrorism, active assailant, civil unrest, and war. But we've seen these analytics being more commonly used as well in risk advisory and risk management to help companies better understand and evaluate their specific exposure to these losses. Ultimately, insurance is only one risk management lever at a company's disposal. So for them, this proactive risk evaluation and mitigation is a cornerstone of their strategy.
And what about TRIA? Could the recent incidents lead to changes in the criteria or processes for triggering federal backstops like the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act?
Yeah, so while some sources have described the incidents as terrorism, I think it's even been mentioned by the FBI, there is no indication yet that this is being considered for TRIA certification. Also, while the certification of an event under TRIA requires the losses to be at minimum $5 million, unless these attacks create nuclear verdicts, it is unlikely that this will surpass the 200 million event threshold required to trigger the actual reinsurance backstop under TRIA. So with that in mind, it's unlikely that they're going to threaten the longevity of TRIA, nor do we expect it to sort of create the kind of solvency crisis on the part of insurers that would lead to calls for TRIA to need to respond to help insurers. So while though not speaking on behalf of the US Department of Treasury, I know that they will be, of course, discussing these events alongside their usual evaluation of potential scenarios and losses to consider how TRIA needs to meet the needs of companies by supporting the insurance industry in the future. The US Department of Treasury and TRIA really is a key member of the international terrorism's pool community, and they share expertise and experience with other pools around the globe to combat the latest terrorism threats. This is to say that whilst TRIA could be redesigned to provide more primary coverage like that of some of the other terrorism pools that exist around the world, I, and it's only a personal belief, believe that TRIA has always really been designed to support the industry to maintain the economic stability of the US, but without really wanting to provide that primary coverage or responsibility unless it's a catastrophic loss. So ultimately leaving the non-catastrophic losses to the private insurance market that has ultimately been designed and responding to those losses for decades and centuries.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What is the current state of the terrorism insurance market today, and how might these events influence future market dynamics?
Yeah, so the terrorism insurance market premium comes about 95% from property and 5% liability exposures. So we're certainly a very property heavy market in the terrorism insurance market, but we do expect a rebalancing of this. So in recent years, terrorism insurers would really have been looking to deploy very large lines, 50 million plus capacity, in order to find much success in our market space. We've certainly seen that. However, we might see and expect from in the future that clients and brokers will look at those carriers that have a greater familiarity and experience when it comes to dealing with litigation and liability claims, which, while still sizable, will certainly be smaller limits than on the property side that we've been seeing. The market, though, as a whole, is robust. It's global in its viewpoint, and most insurers have a balanced portfolio around the world. As such, insurers are familiar with these types of losses, albeit they are somewhat unique, some of them to the United States, some of them more commonly found abroad, but they do have familiarity with a wide range of losses. And while these events are awful, they are events which the insurance industry and the terrorism market specifically has come to expect and price for in the past number of years. So if other events such as these happen, well, we will, of course, see likely pricing and maybe even coverage change from insurers. We don't see wholehearted change in full appetite by the entire market. This is ultimately, unfortunately, the new way of the world, that we don't see terrorism the same way that we did 20 years ago as we do today. And as a result, our insurers have, of course, had to adapt to that changing risk environment as well.
Fergus, what steps can insurers and brokers take to proactively educate policyholders on evolving terrorism risk and the importance of tailored covered solutions? And how is WTW working with your clients in this area?
Yeah, so we're aware that risk management professionals are busy people and certainly have a number of different policies and strategies that they have to be following. So we empathize with those that believe that checking the kind of TRIA accepted box on a property or casualty quote will seem like they're taking the right steps to protect their organization against these attacks. But unfortunately, it is important to understand that where TRIA coverage starts and stops. And in many cases, such as in these most recent attacks, they will find no coverage available under these endorsements, of course, unless TRIA is actually certified. So while it is important for policyholders to be looking at TRIA against alternatives, they need to be also challenging the broker and also insurer partners on how these events will trigger or not trigger the coverage that they have under their policies, so that ultimately they can make more informed decisions about their risk management strategy and alternative policies going forward. Specialty brokers and insurers, though, also continue to improve communication with the risk management community on developments within the specialty market, which now includes considerable preparedness support, crisis management, and victim care. This education and awareness is seen by Frequent carrier and broker-led webinars and other educational sessions on a range of topics, plus the fact that specialty topics are widely being requested at conferences and symposiums. So they are certainly getting quite a lot of airtime now. And WTW's Emerging and Interconnected Risk Survey report, which released late last year, confirmed that geopolitical is a top three emerging risk concern for our clients. So this is an area that we at WTW, of course, are investing heavily into in both risk advisory and also risk transfer solutions. And WTW is more connected than ever around the globe in discussing this risk landscape for our clients on a holistic basis, rather than being siloed into particular lines of business. Because as we talk about this, we're talking about property, we're talking about liability, we're talking about various different industries as well being impacted as well. And so that kind of holistic viewpoint of how an event such as this can touch the insurance landscape and your risk management profile and strategy is really important.
Looking ahead, how might collaboration between insurers, governments, and private organizations play a role in mitigating the financial and operational risk associated with terrorism in the future?
Yeah, so from a public-private partnership viewpoint, I mentioned the International Forum of Terrorism Risk Insurance Pools, or IFTRIP, and that's one such community that's looking to share that expertise to combat this threat. The terrorism pools around the globe play a really important role in the insurance industry, and most rely, though, heavily on that private market partnership. So this collaboration is key to meet the needs of organizations around the world. In addition, private market risk selection and price discrimination will play an important but indirect role in encouraging organizations, both public and private, to engage in best practice. We have, though, already seen significant premium discounts for security improvements and certifications. This could be from broad risk management and security framework enhancements, but could also include evaluating the benefits of, say, the Safety Act, which is a government incentive program for the deployment and development of anti-terrorism technologies. The liability protections afforded under this scheme were originally aimed at technology companies in the wake of 9/11, but in recent years, we've seen companies having their risk management strategy on a more broader level, like the deployment of gunshot detection and metal detectors, certified as a whole. Government engagement, though, doesn't just sit at the federal level, like TRIA or the Safety Act that I've just mentioned. At the state level as well, we've seen legislation implementing new workplace violence prevention safety requirements, like in California with SB 553, that requires all Californian employers with 10 or more employees to develop a comprehensive written workplace violence prevention program. There has also been a larger interest and uptake by policyholders of the non-risk transfer aspects of their insurance program, such as pre-event training and assessments, like helping to create and implement new workplace programs to meet SB 553 requirements in California. So, in addition, insurers and brokers are working also with non-insurance organizations to develop and promote risk management improvements, often partially or totally paid by allowances provided under a policy. For instance, some brokers and insurers are working with private organizations on prevention tools, such as shot detection and alert systems, or collapsible bulletproof walls. Ultimately, policyholders, though, need that ecosystem of insurers, governments, and private organizations to be working together to be able to provide them a comprehensive risk advisory and risk transfer solution that meets the needs of today and tomorrow's threat environment.
Fergus, this has been so informative, so interesting, and I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Fergus Critchley, Head of Crisis Management North America at Willis. And for AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.